Well, hello, my friends. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. If you're asking me why I'm wearing sunglasses in the studio in the morning time, really not sure. They just had them happen to be on my face.
I thought them looked kind of cool. I told them, have at it.
You got to have sunglasses in Florida. I'm going to tell you something. You'll find out real quick once you move down here, you've got to have
eye protection. Don't tell them to move down here.
Oh, my gosh. I just did a commercial. I retract that statement. We got to edit that out of the show.
Unless you're a patriot.
Florida is not open. Yeah, if you're cool, if you're a patriot, come on down.
Yeah.
But, if you're not cool and you're not a patriot and you suck, do not move to the state. We don't want you here. But I don't think anybody listening to the show falls into that category.
No, they don't.
So, I retract that statement. It's just a Tuesday. How are you doing today?
I've got a little bit of a cold, I think. I don't know what's going on.
Hammer some vitamin C.
I may have
purple sticks.
I already took two of those. I may have COVID again.
Ah, oh, COVID.
Yeah, it kind of feels like COVID.
COVID's in your head.
It definitely is in my head. Sorry, stopped up.
Pun intended.
Oh, by the way, I want to cover this real quick, and this is a very important topic, and I want to talk about it because it says doctors warning over killer antibiotic taken by millions that causes organ failure. You know, I'm just going to be kind of personal with you guys this morning. Years and years ago now, it's been about 7 years ago, I guess, Sharon was given this antibiotic. It's called Bactrim. And it started a downhill spiral on her, gave her a peptic ulcer within 4 days. And the doctor, and it says in the PDR not to give to anybody over the age of 60 with women because it causes peptic ulcers. And her gut got all messed up, and she was never right again. But this was interesting. Doctors warning now over a killer antibiotic, Bactrim, taken by millions, that actually causes organ failure. It's actually pulled from the shelves in Alabama. You know,
wow.
You know, the Belusi family is actually raising money for medical expenses. Doctors sounding an alarm about a common antibiotic taken by millions that has led to a number of deaths and extreme reactions, taken by about 3 million Americans every year. Bactrim is usually used to treat a range of bacterial infections such as ear, chest, and stomach bugs, as well as UTIs. I said Emily Basulusi, 12, from Texas, prescribed 2 courses of the antibiotic for cystic acne. It's a severe form that causes painful lumps deep in the skin last year. A severe reaction caused her lungs to become severely injured and shut down. She's been hospitalized for 5 months, reliant on tubes in her windpipe of tracheotomy to help her breathe. Doctors believe the drug triggers an immune response in young patients like Emmy that causes the body to attack healthy tissue that lines the lungs, causing respiratory failure. Experts are investigating the rare complication and are now calling for increased research on Bactrim's long-term harms and tests to look for risk factors before describing the drug. I really suggest that you guys do not take this antibiotic ever. I mean, this is a big skull and crossbones antibiotic for me because of what happened to Sharon and to this young girl here. It's very, very important that this is something that is a dangerous drug as far as I'm concerned, and it should never have been approved. There's all kinds of pictures.
Yeah.
You can walk around with walkers. Look at this, Austin. After taking this drug.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, these people are really, really sick. And so, you know, when you take an antibiotic, you don't expect it to almost kill you. And so it's just one of those deals.
Speaking of drugs, too, I want to kick this off because I had somebody send me this, and I actually had to research it because I didn't even realize this. I had heard some stuff about it. But the FDA approved Ozempic only with a black box warning on it now. And so essentially they said the black box warning is the strongest warning FDA requires. It's because in animal testing, they were directly linking it to thyroid C-cell tumors.
Thyroid cancer.
Directly. Wow. You can look up. Now, they're saying that this doesn't have a correlation in humans. They only had it in rat studies. Let me clarify that. However, they had a direct correlation with the Ozempic controlled group contracting C-cell cancerous tumors and their thyroid. Just wanted to throw that out there. Do with that as you may. You guys already know my stance on that drug. It's a diabetic drug. It was never designed to be a weight loss drug. But once again, here we are talking about it because it's got a black box warning that directly links it to thyroid cancer. So be very cautious with this stuff because it's
– You know, whenever drugs have black box warnings like this, you know, you got to really evaluate what you want to do this to your body.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, you look at Prozac and Zoloft and all the rest of these things, and you realize they have black box warnings linking them to suicidal behavior.
Yeah.
You got Xanax, which is if you stop taking that particular product, you can actually have your heart seize and you can actually die from it, benzodiazepines. So, you know, be really careful when it comes to prescription drugs and just realize that if you're going to do prescription drugs, do the physician's desk reference first to find out what the side effects are going to be because it's not worth it.
And if you really do your research and find that that's something you really really need. Because like I said, a lot of times I've found that people that have come to the office, they're on all types of pharmaceutical drugs, and in some cases are just there to fix, or how should I say, cover up the side effects from the other pharmaceutical drugs they're taking.
Let me give you an example of this. If you've got a problem with a headache, you don't have a deficiency of aspirin or Tylenol
or ibuprofen. No.
Okay, there's a problem. There's a reason you have a headache. It could be low blood sugar. Heck, it could be a brain tumor. You don't know.
It could be high blood sugar.
It could be high blood sugar.
Dehydration.
It could be a whole bunch of different stuff. But you don't have a deficiency of aspirin.
No.
You know, so that's the problem. They give you these drugs to treat these symptoms. In most cases, that's all they do is treat symptoms. But then what they do, they cause additional side effects to occur, like peptic ulcers with Bactrim. It's a real mess. So be really careful when it comes to drugs and make sure you know what you're taking and discuss it with the pharmacist. Most of the time, the doctor won't know. I'm letting you know that unless he's really used that product a lot and he's done a lot of research on it, because a lot of stuff comes out on a newly basis. They see it. They go to a seminar for their continuing education classes. They go, oh, that sounds like a great one. So they write it down. And then the drug reps come in and they tell them, hey, you need to prescribe this. And if you do 10 prescriptions this week, we'll send you to, you know, a new set of golf clubs.
Yep.
Or we'll send you to Hawaii for a free vacation for a conference. And you're going, oh, that's great. Let me just go subscribe this to everybody. And then within 5 years, all new drugs either have their warning labels changed or they're taken off the market, period. That's how it works. So be very, very careful when it comes to pharmacia, because that's how they control a lot of people in the United States, Austin.
And the food supply. You know, the FDA's banned red dye number 3. Here's the foods to avoid as this ban now is going into effect. Now, the companies have 2 years now until 2027 to pull it out of the food supply, and also 3 years to pull it out of the drugs like Sudafed and other things that have number 3 in them. And here's the crazy part. I showed you guys the picture last week of the Fruit Loops ingredients, Kellogg's Fruit Loops, the European ingredient list and the United States ingredient list. And it's crazy the difference. It just shows you they don't have to have all these compounds in it. And it goes into detail here how basically these synthetic dyes have been directly linked to cancer and all these other problems now. And it's talking about a huge percentage of candies have this in them, including candy corn, cherry flavored Laffy Taffy. I'm not going to eat most of this stuff.
Who eats that crap?
Dude, if it's on the shelves at a store, there's a market for it. There's people buying it. They wouldn't have it there. They said also, too,
gosh almighty,
be also cautious of fruits, especially cherries. This happens a lot.
The fluoride compound.
Yeah, medication.
Fluoxetine hydrochloride.
Yeah,
medications, yeah.
I've never understood this. Why in the world they have to have a laundry list of food coloring added to stuff like Tylenol pills or ibuprofen? Or cough syrup. My favorite one, yeah, exactly, like NyQuil. NyQuil's already toxic enough. It's got a set of acetaminophen in it with alcohol. Do your own research on that.
Blow your liver out.
Why do we have to have red 40 and yellow 5 and blue 3 to make it a, you know, candy, you know, cotton candy, pink, blue, red, orange color?
Make it look like it's desirable to drink and eat.
Yeah, it's crazy disgusting. To me. I've looked at it before, and I'm like, dude, because there's a normal cough medicine that just doesn't fill with garbage in it. The other things they talk about is baked items, desserts, and snacks loaded with red 40, red number 3, frozen items, ice cream. This is crazy.
Red 40 is just as bad as red number 3.
Oh, I know. Yeah. They're addressing that now. We'll see how far it goes. And here's a crazy thing. Meats and other products. I've told you guys before, a lot of people don't believe me, that they use red number 3 and red 40 in numerous meat products.
And farm-raised salmon.
Yep. They said at least one aspect of bacon bits found in Betty Crocker's pasta salad uses red number 3, bacon bits. Not bad enough if you're already eating processed luncheon meat with sodium nitrite in it. Let's add some red number 3. That'll really make it healthy for you. I said Jack Link's beef, to be very cautious of this with beef jerky. There's very few beef jerkies on the market that don't have sodium nitrite and also, too, don't have coloring. They said cheddar sticks, Prasic's Family Smokehouse Beef Sausage, Morningstar Farm and Veggie Bacon Strips, and Imitation Meat Products, among many other, have red number 3, including Vigo's Yellow Rice ingredient that includes red number 3.
You know, when we put together the Purple Crazy. 6, we made sure we didn't have any nonsense. We used blueberry and, you know.
They specifically asked us about that as far as with flavoring, with color, because a lot of these manufacturers you work with, they have a plethora of options for what you want to produce. And, of course, you could make stuff the crazy bright colors all you want with natural coloring, with grape extract, with beet extract. And that's the crazy part about it is you don't have to put this stuff in your body if you want to at least have, I guess, the bright and colorful experience. I honestly, when we looked at it, I told myself, I could care less what color the stuff is. And Dad goes, no. We got to make sure it's still purple like the old one so everybody still remembers that. And I said, okay, use grape extract, because the grape extract in here, if you remember, when we wanted to use it, the grape skin extract, it is really expensive.
It's ridiculously
expensive, because it was the cleanest, purest coloring we could get to get that color on there. That way you mix it up, it's still purple and it's all natural. And so something
that was for you guys, by the way.
It was. I could care less. It can be straight brown and I'll be like, whatever.
Well, they gave it to a straight brown to start with.
Yeah, they did that. I didn't mind. You're like, this.
It looked awful.
Yeah, and I was like, whatever. It tastes good.
Tastes the same.
Tastes the same. Awful,
like well, you're eating dirt. I'm done. I'm not doing dirt.
Also, this is a great topic that just came about now. Federal agencies, actually, this is the wrong one. White House pauses federal grants. This will tie into what I'm saying.
It's here. About time.
Yeah. White House pauses all federal grants and loans now until further notice. January 27th memorandum to suspend the distribution of all grants, loans, and financial assistance while the programs are under review. The memo from the new acting director, Matthew Vaith, directs federal agencies to conduct a comprehensive analysis and audit of all financial programs to determine whether they align with the executive orders that Trump signed on January 20th.
A lot of this DEI crap.
Oh, yeah. It's right here. In the interim, to extend permissible under law, federal agencies must temporarily pause all activities related to obligation or distributions of all federal financial assistance and other relevant agency activities that may be implicated by the executive order, including but not limited to financial assistance for foreign aid, non-governmental organizations, DEI programs, woke gender ideology, and the Green New Deal. They say in the memo, the pause will allow the government time to review these programs and determine if the funding is even necessary. This goes on the back of what I told you guys yesterday in detail, how federal agencies now have essentially been busted in an audit over $161 billion in improper payments in last year alone. This, is in some cases, was duplicate payments to contractors, meaning they already paid the invoice, they repaid the invoice again.
I wonder if Hunter Biden was on that contractor list.
I've been very curious about that.
Well, you got a pardon now.
Oh, we accidentally paid you another $1 million for this contract. Whoopsie.
Whoopsie. Oh, we're going to pardon you for anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep the money. Have fun.
No, this whole program, and I was talking to Dad before the show, and, you know, a lot of people, it's hard to fathom these levels of dollars when you start talking about $1 trillion and $2 trillion and $3 and $4, $5 trillion.
12 zeros, man. That's
a lot of zeros. When you actually write it down, you're looking at the math on it, and you start realizing how many millions and billions are in trillions, you realize that you have to actively try to spend trillions of dollars a year. And I'm not talking about, like, you got to think about it. You know, some of the most expensive mega mansions in the entire world, $40, $50 million. Dude, that's – I mean, you can go buy, what, 20, 15, 20, 25 for $1 billion. You can go buy these massive – I mean, that's a lot of mansions. When you start looking at the amount of money that's wasted
– remember, trillions, a thousand billions.
Golly, yeah. Yeah.
Dude. Millions, a thousand, you know, was it? Millions, a thousand, thousands.
Yes. Yeah. It's crazy. And so – yeah, and then also, too, Trump's ordered creation of review council now for FEMA, citing concerns of complete political bias, which we already knew this when we had the memo email come out from one of the FEMA directors, from the regional directors, if you remember this last year.
No Trump supporters.
That said, do not go to any houses that have Trump signs as far as in the aftermath of the hurricane down here in Florida.
And also North Carolina.
North Carolina. They said the order states were concerns that FEMA used resources to support missions beyond their scope, including activities to welcome and support illegal aliens.
You know, just give me this camera, Rich.
Gosh.
What the H-E double sticks is going on with our government? I mean, who in the heck was this Biden? And why are these Kabbalist, Luciferian, Synagogue of Satan with their yanking his choke chain doing stuff like this? Oh, I know. I've got the answer. It's because of the Frankfurt School and cultural Marxism. Oh, it's about, you know, Cloward and Piven, about putting all of these social welfare programs into place and bankrupting the United States. Oh, that's right. I knew that. I covered it on the show. Just a little rhetorical question for you guys. But this is unbelievable when you actually read what they're doing.
Well, and what's crazy is, and you know, I don't
and give your whole family pardons.
Yeah. I don't agree with everything Elon Musk says all the time. I think he's kind of – he's got some stuff he says that I don't agree with.
Serious issues.
However, though, he made a very valid statement when he talked about a couple months ago. And he said, if we actually put tariffs on the products coming in and we reduce the amount of unbelievable wasteful spending in the government, we would have the ability to pretty much, if not remove, to dramatically decrease the federal income tax percentage rate. He said
– I'm all in for that.
He said the level of money that is wasted when he looked at this, and he goes – it doesn't even make sense. There's so much wasteful spending to the tune of probably – I mean, they estimate they could cut the federal budget close to half, if not more, right out the gate. And then you see what happened with FEMA now. There's an article and part of it here. It says FEMA failed to provide vulnerable Americans with resources and support they need during difficult times and numerous catastrophes, despite obligating nearly $30 billion in their budget in disaster aid annually. Still did not have the resources to support North Carolina at
all. What they did, they gave it to the illegal aliens coming through the Darien Gap.
What's funny
is
they came in, and Mayorkas came in and said, we don't do that. We've not spent anything on
lying like a dog.
They come in now. They've said these were allocated to support massive invasion from the southern border and essentially go in and transport people all over the world, give them money, give them housing, give them food. And
You know what's funny, though? You're seeing Trump taking people out by the hundreds.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great. Reality is there's 20 million of them here.
Oh, yeah.
You can't take them out by the hundreds. You got to take them out by the hundreds of thousands.
Thing from what I've been told, because I've talked to a little bit of law enforcement about this week, and they said the primary goal that the administration has conveyed now and put out memos to local law enforcement is they're going after the direct criminals at the gate, the guys that are sexual offenders, that are violent criminals, that have already been busted, that they know their address, their location, what they're doing, and what they've been involved in. Those are their main primary goals right now, is going after those guys.
And the Democrats come in, you're deporting people for stealing a tube of toothpaste. Well, number one, you shouldn't steal anything. That's number
period.
One. But number two, though, it's not about toothpaste, guys. It's about the fact that they're here, number one, illegally. And number two, if they're stealing toothpaste, they've probably done a lot of other stuff, too. But they want to just pick on the dog on, well, they stole the tube of toothpaste. Of course, he was a dual citizen, too. That doesn't really matter anyhow. Oh, by the way, are Trump and his supporters ready for a fight to the death? This is an interesting one. I'm your Huckleberry.
There you go.
A little live from Tombstone.
We started a game we never got to finish.
Yeah, playing for blood, don't you remember?
Tombstone, by the way. In case you missed that one.
In recent articles, this is Paul Craig Robbins. I've emphasized that President Trump and his supporters are in a life and death fight with cultural Marxists, which we mentioned a second ago, who are dedicated to American destruction, who are institutionalized in every American institution, media, universities, law schools, Democratic Party, feminists, DEI contractors, corporations. Wall Street is epitomized by BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, and the bureaucracies of every cabinet department, every federal agency. Essentially, it is President Trump and a few appointees at war with the entirety of the U.S. government and education and media establishments. Trump has arrived at the fight late in the game, when the long match through the institutions is essentially complete. I'm not going to read that again, but I'm going to post this article. That's one of the best paragraphs he's ever written. It's phenomenal. And it was easy to read, too, because the grammar was perfect. In an article in the current issue of City Journal, counter-revolutionary blueprint Christopher F. Rufo describes the extent to which the U.S. government is in the hands of the enemy. In the 2020 presidential election, employees of the Justice Department gave 86% of their political contributions to Democrats. Labor Democratic employees gave 88% to Democrats. Health and Human Services, 92%. Education Department gave 97%. This is all the Butch Dyke lesbian females that are running that. Don't send me letters. Rufo reports that one of the cited political donations are mirrored by tech companies and universities, bastions of left-wing ideologies and activism. To give you an idea of how bad the situation is, the Treasury Department, the task of which is economic policy, financing the debt and raising revenue, which is, by the way, controlled through the New York Fed, which is controlled through the international banking cartels, through the Rothschilds, through the Federal Reserve Banks. Just thought I'd mention that. Financing debt and raising revenue during the Obama regime added a new bureaucracy, the Office for Minority and Women Inclusion. This is totally outside of the Treasury Department's responsibilities. The office continued under Trump's first term, Rufo reports, and proselytized critical race theory as an operating ideology, hiring consultants to conduct training programs, teaching and Treasury employees that America is a nation of systemic racism with a 400-year history of radical terrorism and racial terrorism that continues today. Now I'm going to stop here for 1 second. I'm going to step away. When Austin and I basically did our little claim to fame at the school board meeting, we had our little 180 seconds of fame, with mask mandates, I talked about cultural Marxism, and I talked about Black Lives Matter, and I talked about all of this crazy stuff as far as critical race theory at that meeting, because I knew that all of that stuff needed to be brought to the attention. Now, what happened is YouTube immediately, when we posted it separate, YouTube banned us.
Yep.
Now, this is a public meeting. I'm just covering what we covered. Now, they continued to allow the meeting to be posted on YouTube. That was the meeting in its entirety.
Yeah, but they took ours down.
They took ours down within seconds. And we had already got ours was going viral quick. The problem with it is that they didn't like us segmenting what we did in our particularly 180 seconds of fame and telling the truth to these doggone liberals. There were multiple lesbians on that board, on the school board, which all but one got kicked off now. And that's because she was endorsed by a local politician, and she was able to keep her on. But the cultural Marxism is very, very real. You send your child to a local school. You keep him straight, keep him doing what he needs to do. You send him to a major cultural Marxism university. He comes back gay or comes back lesbian, comes back to all this crazy crap because all the other kids up there are saying, well, we're bisexuals. You can do whatever you want to do. I'm going to be a sponge today. Hey, tomorrow I'm going to be a kitty cat. Get me the cat litter. And you're like, what the heck? And then you give them the Play-Doh and the puppies, so they sit in the corner and cry, and they get in the real world, they go, I can't deal with this. Perfect example. A few years ago, you know, we went up to Mark Rutland's place up in Atlanta for a meeting. This was with Sharon. Sharon and I were still alive 3 years ago. And I remember we stopped at a hotel. The first room was full of mold. The second room had a floodlight right out the window shining through the curtain. You couldn't sleep in it. The third room was okay. You know, we're playing Goldilocks or something. And so I couldn't deal with it. I spent a bunch of points to be at this hotel. It's a Marriott product. And I called the manager back and said, look, you have to give me some type of adjustment because, I mean, we can't be changing rooms all night. I'm not going to do that. And I said, well, you need to do that. He goes, you're showing me microaggression. Remember that? And I said, I'm not showing you any aggression. I'm on the telephone talking to you, bud. I said, oh, you can't talk to me like that. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? You're supposed to be the manager. And you know, start squealing like a little tranny. And I thought to myself, this is nonsense. That's the level that we've taken our population to with this cultural Marxism stuff and the Play-Doh and the puppies. You can't deal with conflict resolution or can't deal with a problem. I finally called, you know, Marriott directly. I told them what had happened. They gave me all my points back for that room. I couldn't deal with the manager. He was incapable of concrete rational thought and making a decision. He went into full-blown panic mode. This is what the universities are teaching us. And that, when you do that to a population and to a country, you completely cripple it. Because the people that are making the decisions now, the managers and the leaders and other people, can't make decisions anymore, so you have a stalemate. It's like the Peter principle in marketing and management. As levels of, you know, of management increase, so does the inefficiency. And when you put these people through cultural Marxism and through DEI hiring into positions of authority like that, you see very quickly they can't make decisions for themselves or for anyone else without causing massive, massive conflict. Here we go. Another thing. During the Biden regime, another activist left-wing bureaucracy was created in the Treasury, an equity hub with Counsel for Racial Equity, Janet Yellen, the hardcore lesbian Jewish Secretary of the Treasury, and Kamala Harris, the black vice president who can't complete a sentence, quickly announced $8.7 billion fund for lending only to minority-owned businesses. That's discriminatory. It's a violation of the 1964 Civil Rights Act and 14th Amendment. Can you imagine how many minority-owned firms were quickly created so that deserving people could make millionaires by U.S. taxpayers? And can you rest assured that neither Yellen or Harris were accountable for violating the law and the Constitution? Okay, because I'm black, or I'm Hispanic, or I'm China, or whatever I am, I'm going to go apply for a $5 million loan to start my own company, and the taxpayer is going to pay it. Don't worry. This is not a loan. It's a grant. So we're going to give you the money. How many Hunter Biden – how many companies does Hunter Biden start, Austin?
Oh, yeah. That was what I was getting at.
Yes. Yeah. You know, not even this was enough. The Treasury forced federal contractors to implement DEI and monitor tax returns to make sure that tax-exempt donations to charities were racially balanced. Wait a minute. To make sure that tax-exempt donations to charities were racially balanced? Ruffo describes the efforts of Nixon, Reagan, and Trump to get the bureaucracy in compliance with the president's policy all failed. Nevertheless, Ruffo has hope for Trump, too, and he sets out the necessary elements for taking back the president's and people's power from the hostile civil service that is united against America's values. The people that are running this are the Luciferian synagogue of Satan Kabbalists. This is the ancient Canaanite religions. I covered this in the Angel Wars. All of this stuff is very, very real, and we're dealing with it right now. You know, with children all over the place becoming bisexual, with all kinds of crazy stuff with cultural Marxism. You know, they remember the CIA hired Gloria Steinem. She's a CIA asset. Timothy O'Leary, CIA. All of these people were CIA. And they were all part of the counterculture to undermine, you know, the Christian values of the United States. Because these Kabbalist Luciferian synagogue of Satan lackeys, these Sabbateans, they hate Jesus. They want to destroy everything he stands for and everything that he did 2,000 years ago because they want their old world order back. I mean, it's crazy. It's all this. He goes, and he goes, Rufio makes clear, Trump plan two fails, the American experiment will come to an end. Paul Craig Roberts says, I certainly agree, having made many of these points myself. The question is, how realistic is it that Trump and a few appointees can subdue millions of people whose far-left ideology is guiding the U.S. government and not only despise Trump's view of America, but also hate Trump personally? Now, I'm going to stop for 1 second. I was on an airplane years ago, and I've told this story before, but it's been a couple of years since I told it. And I was sitting in the back of the plane. I'd not been able to upgrade to business class. I'm okay with that. Sometimes you just ride in the back. Sometimes you get to ride in the front. Who cares? But the reality is I was in the very back by the toilet. Now, luckily, I left my luggage up at the front, you know, right behind first class. So I went up to this lady who was basically sitting in the bulkhead section by herself. And I asked her, I said, do you mind if I sit up here with you so I can get off the plane a little more quickly instead of being back by the toilet because I'm tired of the smell? Okay. And we're about 15 minutes, you know, away from landing. And so I sat down with her and I started asking her what she did. And she told me that she was on government disability, that she had rheumatoid arthritis, and that she was on full disability from the government. I said, well, it's easy to fix rheumatoid arthritis. She's, you know, basically off some nightshade vegetables and stop eating junk. She goes, oh, I don't want to do that. I want to keep my rheumatoid arthritis. I get my subsidies. I'm like, okay, great. And so I started thinking it'd be better sitting by the toilet, right? And so then she says, I said, well, do you have any kids? I'm trying to be nice to her. And she goes, well, I've got one son. He's gay. And she's like, she brings out a, like, she didn't do this metaphorically. She brings out a big flag to say, look at my son. He's gay. How happy am I? And a lot of these people actually believe that. They're excited when their children become lesbians or gays. I've seen it personally. And so she was all excited. Well, he has AIDS. Well, he's on full government disability too. Like, great. You know, seat from hell. This is a horrible seat. You know, I'm thinking to myself, this is great. And then she says, what do you do? And so I said, well, I do seminars. I just finished a big seminar in Dallas. And you know, I think we had 20,000 people there. And I was coming home. And she goes, oh, wow, they need to increase your taxes. I looked at her and said, what? She goes, oh, yeah, Reagan was, you know, wrong changing taxes. You need to be paying at least 90% of what you earn in taxes so you can support people like me. She said this. and I didn't realize the extent of this until that day. She really believed that I need to be paying 90% taxes. And I told her, so you're telling me if I make $1,000, I've got to give $9,000 back so I can support you because you don't want to work. Yeah. So if I make $10,000, I have to keep $1,000. Well, yeah. And I said, I'm not going to do that. She goes, no. That's what people like you do. I'm like, no, we don't. It was right after that I came off the seminar circuit. This is the truth. I did. I had enough of all of it. I said, you know what? I'm living in hotels, flying all over the country, staying worn out, and I'm supporting people like this. I said, I'm sick of it. And I had enough of it. As I said, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to fly and live in a suitcase like this anymore. And this is the problem that you have with cultural Marxism. You have 99 people riding in a cart with one person trying to pull it, and that one person is working their butts off, and now they're going to tax them by 90-95%. Yeah. You know, my response is no.
So theoretically, you're paying majority of all your money you earn to make sure other people
don't have to work.
Do anything.
Yeah. No, this is what Ayn Rand talked about, you know, in Atlas Shrugged.
Yep.
All the key people were leaving because they got tired of having all of their money and all their earnings taken from them.
Well, and this is why Elon Musk and both Trump have talked out so much now as far as on cutting back on IRS, cutting back on their funding, cutting back on their taxes. Because here's the problem. See, if the tariffs start being put on all these products that you have to buy, all of a sudden it's equally paid by everybody that basically buys goods or services. Now suddenly it's not, oh, well, you make a little bit more money. Oh, so your income tax rate just went up 5, 10, 15, 20%.
Well, a graduated income tax is all communism.
Yes.
And that's
exactly
why it was put in place, because what it does.
It was 1% when it was put in place.
What it does, it's designed to keep everybody at the same level of income. So if I make $100,000, I pay X amount in. If I make $200,000, I don't make much more than making $100,000 because it all gets paid back to taxes. And so you think to yourself, well, this is crazy. It is. And I'm telling you, it's the largest economic disincentive that we've ever done in this country for people that produce.
I remember I had a buddy of mine. He was working for a sales company. This is years back. And he was the one who actually kind of – this is probably 15 years ago. And he was actually explaining to me how unbelievably communistic it was. And he was saying one of the years that he was doing sales, he made them hold his bonus until January, because what was going to happen was he was going to get like a $6,000 bonus in December. And the problem was – the $6,000 bonus was going to take him right over that threshold, even after as far as he went and wrote stuff off. He was actually going to make less money if he took the bonus, because all of a sudden his income tax rate was going to bump up another certain percent. So he was going to make less money if he took the bonus than he would if he didn't take it till January.
You know that? That's
bizarre.
That steaming piece of feces, Wilson, back, he passed the Federal Reserve Act, also passed the IRS stuff.
Yeah.
And remember, he's being blackmailed from that girl
yep.
from Princeton because he had sex with her when he was basically married.
Yep.
And then Samuel Untermyer came to her and got a cash settlement right after that. Guess what happened? He passes the Federal Reserve Act.
Yep.
Then he passes the income tax. He died with syphilis. He's a babbling idiot when he died. His wife was running the White House because it had destroyed his brain.
Yep.
He Woodrow Wilson, this is the deal with me. He was the worst president we've ever had in the history of the United States, period, done. Number two was Lincoln. And don't send me letters. If I was doggone president of the United States, if I was Donald Trump, I'd have the Lincoln Memorial torn down. You think, I can't believe you said that. No, stop it. Read the real Lincoln. Find out who this guy was. He was basically a Satanist, and his wife was having seances in the White House. This guy was a weirdo, and he was gay on top of everything else, according to the research that I've read. So all of this stuff with what Lincoln freed the doggone slaves in the South and did not free the slaves in the North.
It's Emancipation Proclamation.
I mean, unbelievable. I mean, and then he had Sherman march to the sea from Atlanta and kill every living thing and burn all the farms, 60-mile swath.
Sherman's march to the sea was an absolute nightmare.
They
were going in to the areas that were just civilians. There were no military forces. There was women and children, and they were going through East Georgia, and they were pulling up the railroad ties, and they were heating them up and twisting them around trees. They call them Sherman's bow ties. You can read this up. It's all documented. So that no trains could get in
food.
Or out. So they couldn't get supplies in, and they couldn't sell any other product out. And they literally starved out the rest of the civilian population. The military force in Georgia at that time was kaput. All the men were dead or injured or
Sherman,
sick.
Sherman should have been tried as a war
absolutely.
Criminal hung.
Yeah, they did went on a 60-mile swath. They burned everything, burned all the crops,
raped the women.
And that was the final phase when you read about it, that Lincoln, by the way,
fully endorsed
and gave him his approval that he was not going to be charged for war crimes if he went and did that. And he took direct leadership in that.
Well, no, I personally think he was a Sabbatean, Kabbalist, Luciferian, synagogue of Satan lackey. I think he was basically a Satanist.
It's funny. I had an argument with somebody a ways back. They were talking to me about this, and we got on this topic, and they said, well, no, you understand. Like, Lincoln was really, really anti-slavery. That's why he freed the slaves. And so we know the Emancipation Proclamation did not free northern slaves. It was a war tactic to make sure all the slaves were freed in the South. He goes, that's not true. I said, dude, they can't even hide it on Google. Look it up. It's not. This isn't some type of conspiracy.
You remember? Theory. Remember when we were at that Bible museum in D.C. a few years ago?
Yeah.
We had this guy who was promoting the North and promoting Lincoln and all this. And I looked at him. I said, "Dude, did you ever read the Emancipation Proclamation? You know, Lincoln didn't free the slaves. He still have Lincoln freed all slaves. No, he didn't.
Yeah."
And the guy goes, "Oh, that's not true. This is the Bible museum."
Yeah.
I said, "Why don't you do some research, bud?"
Yeah.
So you said, "Are you spewing all this rhetoric?"
It was a war tactic to cripple any more fighting forces. Because what happened was the South was basically conscripting a lot of their slaves to fight because a lot of guys were dying, and then they were turning around and saying, "Hey, if you fight, basically we'll let you guys free. If you fight with us, basically fight for the South." And
You see that in The Patriot, the movie The Patriot.
Yeah,
you
know? they're fighting alongside them.
Yeah.
And again, there was a lot of nasty stuff that happened back then. Slavery was horrific. I'm not going to sit here and justify and paint some pretty
slavery
picture.
was horrible.
Horrible. What they did to a lot of those people and how they treated them. But at the end of the day, everybody has to realize that you've got to do your research on history and understand that a lot of stuff you're told is a complete lie. Speaking of lies from the mainstream government, this is interesting. RFK Jr. is basically planning on nominating him or basically doing the confirmation this week on the 30th. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the crazy part about this, okay? This is what I'm going to show you guys right here. This is just simple RFK Jr. confirmation hearing. This is all I typed into Google. Look at every single headline. Doctors opposing RFK Jr. rally and lead up to confirmation. He'll go down. RFK Jr. nomination won't pass. Another one from New York Post. Senators vote no on RFK Jr., who's a radical left lunatic, hazardous to our health. Another one. Anti-vaccine bills pop up across the U.S. ahead of RFK Jr.'s confirmation hearing. Now, I clicked on that one because I was curious. I'm always intrigued in different bills that come in. Now, this is the crazy one here. If you look at this one, this is the title of it. Anti-vaccine bills pop up across the U.S. ahead of the RFK Jr. confirmation hearing. This is a complete and total lie. They even go down to say here now, bills that have been introduced challenging vaccine mandates have popped up in more than 15 states, with skeptic lawmakers emboldened by President Trump's return and RFK Jr.'s nomination. That's the first sentence. What they don't tell you here is that majority of these bills that have been put into place and have been basically submitted all the way to months ago, which means they've been writing them for the last year, they're primarily being put into place to prevent any type of vaccine mandate like that happened with COVID, so that nobody has to take an experimental or a non-experimental injection against your will, period. That's what a lot of these bills are about. So this title here, anti-vaccine bills pop up across the U.S. ahead of RFK's Jr. confirmation hearing, is a complete and total fabricated manipulation of the truth. These bills that have been in place for months that they've been waiting to submit are designed to protect the American population from being forced to take shots that they don't want. Period. So again, you want to know when they don't want somebody in the place? Look at the news headlines on every single mainstream news outlet that's covering it. And I didn't say anything about RFK here in the search bar about anti-vaccine. I just put RFK Jr. confirmation hearing. That's it. So it shows you how the platforms like Google and other ones, they utilize the mainstream media to push the narrative. If this was an average person that didn't know anything and they clicked on this, anti-vaccine bills pop up across the U.S. Oh, my gosh. Then here's they put vaccine rates against dangerous childhood infections like measles and polios continue to fall nationwide. Why isn't polio and measles then continually going up? Good question. Why does it continually go up since everybody's not getting the shots now? The answer is it's not. The thing about this is you've got to do your own research and you've got to come to your own conclusion on this stuff. Because if not, if you just go by the headlines, they will manipulate the crap out of you, man.
Well, you know, the whole thing about it is they want to be able to still force mandates.
That's exactly right.
Because Pfizer and Moderna make so much money on that.
That's exactly right. And now you've got essentially the U.S. is reporting now the first outbreak of the H5N9 bird flu in poultry.
So sickening.
This is the new evolved, mutated H5N1. H5N9 now, they're saying is outbreaking in all types of poultry. I'm so sick of these guys. They're saying now that the WH is adding almost 119,000 birds on their farm have been killed by December 2nd.
You know, it's funny. Back when COVID was going on, we showed everybody. We weren't able to do it on the screen. But it was like 199 people that died of COVID. You know, 5,000 people, 5,421 died of COVID.
Yep.
And you put it in Google and it would pop up every single time. But no matter what kind of weird number, see if it still does that, Austin.
Cases. Yep, right here. You type in any number, health COVID cases. Yeah. You type in a number, 589 COVID cases. Health Ministry confirms 589 COVID cases. I mean, you type in anything.
Yeah. I mean,
922. There you go. Confirms 922 fresh COVID-19 cases. South Carolina reports 922 COVID cases.
Any number. It doesn't matter. It pops up. And, you know, that shows you the utter manipulation.
Look, I type in 1,032. I'm random numbers.
Give me the screen, Rich.
1,032 COVID disease severely, comparing demographics. 1,032 new COVID cases.
All right.
Do 1,154. 1,154 new COVID cases. You can do this all day long if you have nothing to do, by the way, if you're bored and want to do something.
It's all controlled by AI.
All day long. Any number you think of, UAE announces 1,054 new COVID cases. Arizona reports 1,054 new COVID cases. The whole thing was theater, not the virus itself. It was some lab-grown nasty mess they made.
It was very real.
But everything after that ensued with the continuing push, the propaganda, the theater, it was all theater designed to do a very specific job.
And here's why. Who owns the media? There are six monolithic corporations that control almost everything we hear, watch, and read, all owned by BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, and controlled by the Synagogue of Satan, Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan. That's who controls it. Here's some of the articles. John sent me this morning. It says, we live in a society that is literally addicted to consuming media content. Unfortunately, control of that content is dominated by just a handful of ultra-powerful corporations. Back in 83, the media industry was controlled by 50 large companies. Today, it is controlled by six corporations. They own television networks, streaming services, cable channels, movie studios, newspapers, magazines, publishing houses, music labels, and even some of our favorite websites. Sadly, most of us don't even think about who's feeding us endless hours of this news. You know, it says the six corporations that collectively control the media are Disney, Cabalist control. Time Warner, Cabalist control. National Amusements, Cabalist control. News Corporation, Cabalist control. Comcast and Sony. Collectively, the Big Six absolutely dominate news and entertainment in the United States. But if the Big Six were a country, they would be the 26th largest GDP in the world. But those areas of media that the Big Six are not completely control are becoming increasingly concentrated. For example, iHeartMedia now owns over 1,200 radio stations in the United States, and companies like Google, Microsoft, Amazon, and Facebook are increasingly dominating the Internet. When you control what Americans watch, hear, and read, you acquire a great deal of influence over what they think. The content they produce is called programming for a reason, because it programs the person who is watching it, if they are not aware of what's going on, to believe what they're being told on TV. That's why I taught my children back when we still had cable here at the house that whenever commercial comes on, guess what do we do, Austin? We mute it.
I remember that.
You mute the commercial. If you don't mute the commercials, I turn the TV off, period. I will not allow them to be programmed by the commercials that are coming through the TV. Now you've got all of these TV shows and cartoons with all these gay characters, transgender characters, going into little minds of 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old little children, teaching them that all of that stuff's okay and normal, and it's not.
Well, gone are the days of, you know, old Yosemite Sam and Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote and all just the silly cartoons that they used to have that were actually funny for 4, 5, 6 years.
Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff was funny back then. It had no underlying, you know, most of it didn't have any underlying perversion. And now it's like every single childhood show, it has to have some underlying theater to it that's trying to promote this. I remember that Jurassic Park that came out as a Jurassic Park cartoon. Hunter was into it. He loves dinosaurs, and he was watching it. And then one of my friends contacted me, and they said, hey, listen, it was like certain episode of certain season. They said, you need to basically cut that show off. I said, why? These kids on the show are like 8, 9, 10, 12 years old, this cartoon, this Jurassic Park cartoon. They're stuck on an island. I was like, I watched a bunch of the episodes with him at first to make sure there's not a bunch of weird stuff in it. Majority of it's fairly decent. Also, they said, dude, this certain episode, if you want to pull it up, two of the girls have a giant lesbian makeout kiss in it.
You know, so
and I'm like, this show's geared to 8 to 10-year-olds. Why does this even need to be added?
I'm going to tell you a story I've never told you.
Ever told me? That's a rarity.
Now, if I told you, let me know, because I don't think I ever told you this one. You know, we owned a bunch of cottages and fish camps and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I lived along with a German-European, you know, beer tavern. And we had a girl in cottage number two. Her name was June.
Yep.
Okay? And suddenly one day she comes out. She's like 11 years old. She decides that we're all going to play Spin the Bottle.
Yeah.
Have I ever told you a story?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. And spin the bottle is you spin the bottle, and whoever the bottle points at, you have to kiss.
Right.
Now, we made an exception for that. Nobody kissed. Boys didn't kiss boys, and girls didn't kiss girls.
There you go.
And I got to kiss June when I was 8. That was a peck on the cheek, as I was. But I thought, oh, man, I'm so macho. I mean, I kissed June. She was really pretty, I thought. But the point is, back then, you know, we were playing games like that, and we even knew better. And then you don't kiss the same member of the same sex.
Yeah. It's not a hard concept.
No.
And speaking of the news and the perversion, this is a new article that came out from the Defender, which is a really interesting article, because I've talked about this for years. He's talked about it for decades. Four things the complete and total communist New York Times got wrong about aluminum and vaccines. So if you guys recall, there's an article that came out last month, and the New York Times claimed that aluminum in vaccines was a great thing. It was great. It was completely fine. Aluminum toxicity wasn't even a thing. There was no such thing as aluminum toxicity that has been used in childhood vaccines, and it's been necessary, well-tested, and completely safe and effective.
Total lie.
Oh, yeah. So the aluminum in the vaccines being a good thing, and the vaccine scientists find it strange that anybody opposes aluminum, and they don't understand why anybody wouldn't want aluminum.
Alzheimer's disease.
Oh, yeah. They mean, tie into it, aluminum and basically the aspects of Alzheimer's. So here's the four things they cover in here to completely rebuttal and document how the New York Times was lying or fabricated information. They said long-term use of aluminum adjuvants doesn't make them safe. It says the Times repeatedly claimed vaccine makers and government regulatory agencies use aluminum adjuvants means they're safe. So because it's been in the market for decades, it suddenly makes it safe. Kind of how FDA approved Red number 3.
Or fluoride.
Yeah. Back in the 80s, red number 3 got approved, and now they're saying that it's directly linked to cancer. They're pulling it out of all products. But, hey, it's been in the products for, you know, 50 years. 40 years. So technically, that means it's safe, right? Based on this idea.
Like aspartame.
It's absolutely not. Imagine you're an aluminum atom. And this is an article here that goes into basically what and how bad aluminum adjuvants are. It says the researchers also report the mechanisms of adjuvant toxicity are well less understood than the mechanisms by which adjuvants enhance vaccines. And they go into detail with this whole rigmarole about how aluminum's great, it's this and that. Another one here says aluminum is an adjuvant has not been adequately safety tested. And this is a complete truth. There's not been any aluminum toxicity
they,
directly
when they
injected.
Took the mercury out, they put the aluminum in.
Correct. And so they try to say here, oh, there's all these safety testing. There haven't been clinical trials with injecting people with just aluminum to see the side effects from it at all. They said experts show that there's no infant vaccine containing aluminum adjuvant that's been safely tested against a true placebo such as saline. Instead, the vaccines are tested against placebos that also contain aluminum adjuvants or against other vaccines.
Excuse the results.
Exactly.
Total fake
research.
This
is how they manipulate it. So that way, there's kids that are in the placebo group that still get side effects from the aluminum. It doesn't matter. It completely offsets. Can they go, well, this amount had, it doesn't matter. So they've done that repeatedly.
Well, then they say that it's not statistically significant, so it doesn't matter.
They said the quantity of aluminum vaccines is neither small nor insignificant. This is what the rebuttal was, because they tried to say that, oh, there's not enough aluminum to even cause health problems. The New York Times repeatedly claimed that babies are exposed to small amounts of aluminum through vaccines in the 6 months of life, and it's especially compared to aluminum from other sources, and it's irrelevant. Why is there 100 – if they say – the aluminum there is to be used as an adjuvant and essentially to make the vaccine more effective. Well, why in the world do you have aluminum in the vitamin K shot? Vitamin K shot is not a vaccine. It's designed to just inject additional vitamin K in the baby to help with blood clotting if the mom hasn't had proper prenatal nutrition.
They probably claim it's a sterile, like mercury was.
Yeah, I have a vial that a buddy bought me, and it has right on the side of it. This contains 100 micrograms of aluminum in the vial. Why are you allowing that to be injected into the child first thing? How about you give the mom proper prenatal nutrition? And then the last one here says aluminum adjuvants make vaccines more profitable.
There you go.
So aluminum adjuvants are dirt cheap. They also add absolutely nothing to the cost of the vaccine, what they're talking about here. In my opinion, the dispute on aluminum is merely a dispute of economic interest. So yes, some vaccines contain aluminum. That's a good thing for the industry. Talking about this, they're promoting it here on how it's so good.
And neurological damage.
It causes neurological damage and a host of other health problems. That's why the N-acetylcysteine is so important, along with the spike protein survival kit that we put together.
And the magnesium brain food.
Yes, because it helps chelate the aluminum. So remember, the magnesium brain food that we have has the magnesium thionate, which is the only magnesium that's been clinically shown to pass through the blood-brain barrier, which is crucial in making sure
it helps pull heavy metals back out.
Especially if you stack it with the N-acetylcysteine with magnesium.
That's why it clears up brain fog like instantly.
Yeah.
It's an amazing product.
Incredible product. I want to cover that here, and I'll post this on the website so you guys can read it in detail about vaccines with aluminum and the harm that they cause, and basically these mainstream media companies do nothing but try to cover them all the time.
I'm going to talk about a beauty queen.
A beauty queen.
Yeah, her name's Carrie Prejean. She basically was Miss California and basically runner-up Miss USA in 2009, first runner-up. Prejean was stripped of her Miss California title for alleged breaches of contract. Litigation between her, et cetera. And here's her big controversy. She basically said that she considered the union between a male and a female to be the proper one before God while they asked her one of the questions.
Jeez.
Yeah, they slammed her for that, and she says that cost her the title of Miss USA. So now she has her own podcast. Of course she does.
Of course she does.
And I think that's great. But I want to give you some background on her. She's Miss California, MAGA model, slam sobbing Selena Gomez, and ask why she doesn't house illegal migrants in her mansion.
Oh, by the way, Selena Gomez has pulled down that entire video now off social media.
Screaming and bawling
she
and squalling.
She got eviscerated. I had like 3 or 4 people send me into the comment section. The comments were gold. They were golden to the point she pulled down the whole thing. Basically screaming, I wish I could do something.
These are my people.
Yeah, sure. Okay, man. Let them know the location. They can drop off about 30, 40, 50 of these guys.
Well, she got a 10,000, 12,000 square foot mansion. Let them live with her.
She's super wealthy. She has one of the largest Instagram profiles in the entire world, by the way.
Yeah, she had to run her mouth like this.
Oh, she got hammered. The problem is when you got hundreds of millions of followers say some really, really stupid stuff that
you
nobody agrees with.
You lose a lot of people.
With, boy, that you got a broad demographic there, man. She stepped in it big time. Not surprising. Also, too, we talked about this yesterday briefly, and I'm going to post the article on the website. It's another review on it from Michael Novakta's PhD in Son of the Defender, and it talks about the jaw-dropping study finding vaccinated children have 170%.
We covered it yesterday before this company
this
did.
This is another peer-reviewed study also found that vaccinated children had a 212% greater likelihood of developing other neurodevelopmental disorders, including ADHD, epilepsy, seizures, brain inflammation, tics, and learning disorders. This, again, is another – this is a peer-reviewed study, by the way. And so it looked at autism compared to unvaccinated children versus vaccinated children. That's a big deal. This is a big study. And so, again, I'm going to post on the websites. We talk about it all the time, but I want you guys to read through this. And it looked at 47,000 children enrolled in the Florida Medicaid program since birth. Pretty cool.
Here's another study on ADHD. Adults with ADHD found to have reduced life expectancy.
The amphetamines wear out the brain.
Adults who've been diagnosed with attention deficit disorder activity have shorter lives, according to a new study. The research published in the British Journal of Psychiatry analyzed primary care data from over 30,000 people. They compared this group to over 300,000 participants with ADHD who were matched by age, sex, and primary care practice. The researchers found an apparent reduction in life expectancy for men diagnosed with ADHD between 4.5 and 9 years and up to 11 years for women.
What's the reason why? You've got to understand this. The ADHD, if they're diagnosed with it, then they're more than likely prescribed ADHD medication. That's how they're able to fit into that category, meaning they're probably using copious amounts of Ritalin or Adderall on a regular basis for ADHD. And
they cooked their brain.
Yeah, that long-term, because that's the problem. You know, if you ever use that stuff short-term or had to take it for something, I don't necessarily agree with it, but that's between you and your doctor. The problem is people get so hooked on this stuff where they're taking 2 and 3 30-milligram Adderalls every single day for decades. This isn't like, oh, I used it in college a couple times to write papers. This is a year after year after year after year thing. And the problem is, remember, like any type of stimulus, you have to take higher and higher doses in order to get the effects from it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why, when I've looked at the research, why a lot of these individuals have so many health problems.
That's what I like our attention factor.
Oh, the attention factor is fire. I mean, everybody loves the attention factor. That's one of the reasons why I put together the Ultimate Focus Stack, because it's such a good kit where it stacks the purple sticks with the attention
factor. Don't take the attention factor after like 9 a.m. in the morning.
You take it a little bit later past that.
I took it at 3 o'clock one afternoon.
Yeah, 3 o'clock's a bit late. I usually say by about lunchtime, you know, you don't want to run.
About 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm still running around the house going, this is great.
Well, I broke my own cardinal rule. I was on Hagman a couple weeks. It was like two shows,
you
two moves back.
You didn't.
Well, I was getting prepped in the evening, so I took like two more at 6 p.m. That was it. Went to bed at like 2.
I did it one time in the afternoon. That's it, man. To me, it's a 9 a.m. cutoff.
It's a great product. And we stack it with the purple sticks, like 2 attention factor with 1 purple stick first thing in the morning. You get a great workout in early. You get a great job done with whatever you get. By about noon, you're like, man, I've got so much productive stuff done today. I can go get a good meal in.
Yeah, it's great. But our stuff works. I mean, so be careful with it, though, after 9 o'clock in the morning. And don't be taking it late in the afternoon at all, as long with the purple sticks. I don't take these after 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
So I just don't do it. It's not worth it. But ADHD, you're right, Austin. When you put them on all of those Schedule 2 drugs. Remember, Adderall is a Schedule 2 drug. If you have Adderall on you and you don't have a prescription for it, that's a felony.
Oh, absolutely. It's in the same category as morphine tablets. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I mean it's a serious drug. And like I said, the issue with it is, you know, if you did some in college, I know a lot of people that used it in college, you know, make sure you're on the magnesium brain food and other brain support as you get older. But using this stuff on a regular basis long term, really look at other options, because the attention factor, one of my good buddies, I just sent him a bottle of it. It does a bunch of car sales out in Tampa, because he had a prescription for Adderall. He's in his 30s now. He was on it for about a decade. Mm. And he said the problem with it was, he found when he got into his 30s, every time he would take it, he'd get a lot done in the morning. He said by the afternoon, though, he was starting to get really, really irritable the older he got.
The adrenals crashed.
He said he got a bad mood, didn't get stuff done, couldn't focus. So he either had to take more or basically try to come off of it. And he said what happened was, the more he took, the more irritable he got. And I sent him the attention factor last week, and he absolutely loves it. Granted, he's taking a high dose of it because he took so much Adderall for so long. He said he's been taking like 4 at a time. But, I mean, it's my opinion,
it's not a Schedule 2 drug.
Oh, yeah. It's way healthier, though.
Well, I mean, attention factor is just a real good product we developed.
L-theanine. Yeah, it's actually a derivative off of caffeine. So the L-theanine actually uses and utilizes part of the brain that caffeine stimulates without causing issues with as far as like higher blood pressure, higher heart rate, because that's one of the issues you'll find. You know, if you start taking large amounts of caffeine, it can cause issues with blood pressure, especially with coffee. And the attention factor doesn't do that, doesn't have any factor on your heart rate at all, which is great. Just all mind focus. That's why.
Well, the problem with coffee in general is that you have to continue to increase the amounts to get the same effect, and that's not true with purple sticks.
No, well, it's got the green tea extract, so it doesn't spike cortisol as well either, and so you don't get as irritable. That's one of the issues that you run into with coffee is that, you know, you just, I get irritable. If after 2 or 3 days of drinking on it, that's why I don't touch it anymore.
If I drink a cup of coffee, I can feel the edge. I mean, Sharon, you say, Dad's had coffee. Everybody stay away from him.
You were always real susceptible.
And I said, I'm not in a bad mood. Yeah, you are.
Everybody else is horrible today.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, it's great. And so as a favor to the family, I pretty much stopped using it. I had enough of it.
Well, then the problem is, too, after you're on it for about a week and then you try to come off of it, you basically start having
caffeine
withdrawals. By the way, caffeine withdrawals and caffeine addiction is listed in the diet, the DSM-4, DSM-5, basically as being an actual addiction, a disorder, because it causes the body to have severe withdrawals if you don't get it. I know a lot of people, they live on coffee, and I'm telling them, like, dude, try the purple sticks, swap them out. They're a lot better option. If you want to drink coffee, drink it as something that's like a special occasion. You're out on vacation somewhere and you want to get espresso in the morning, get a really good coffee. Use it for stuff like that. But just hammering it all day, every day, all morning just to stay geeked up, it's really not the best option. The purple sticks is why we designed those, so we didn't have to use coffee, quite frankly. And so, again, it's one of the reasons why.
By the way, there was a gay guy who got interviewed.
I saw this. I was going to cover this.
Yeah, go ahead. Cover this real quick.
So this is an interesting article. I found this to be very intriguing. So he did a full expose. They interviewed him, and he was a gay combat veteran, decorated Iraq war veteran, infantry. And he basically said that the controversial decision to ban transgender individuals from serving in the military was absolutely necessary. And he said he's a vocal advocate for military readiness, a staunch patriot, and laid out devastating critique of the impact transgender service members had on the armed forces. And you want to say here, listen to this. He said, first of all, he said there's roughly around 15,000 trans now serving the United States military. These people are not deployable. They cannot deploy. There is no readiness for them. They essentially have to have desk jobs. And he said this is a politically motivated social experiment. He said transgender service members are under the restrictions with the military, are able to fill the most basic requirements of military service, deployability. He said if you're a transgender identified person serving the United States military right now, you are not combat deployable. You cannot be deployed whatsoever, because the drugs you're on and basically all the other host of other issues that are going on with you. He said these people cannot be deployed to theater when the U.S. is involved in any sort of conflict, which means you got a lot of people sucking up U.S. taxpayer, sitting in an office somewhere, doing nothing, maybe doing clerk work, but they're not deployable. And he said right here, one of the last things he said this means that taxpayers, because all of their surgery, all of their VA, because the VA covers this even when they get out, he said that means the taxpayers on the hook for about $200,000 to $300,000 per year for transgender health care, which is covered by the VA.
You know, this is just another big lie from Satan.
Oh yeah.
You know, let's talk about this for a second. We got a couple seconds left.
Yeah.
You know, you got a bunch of people out there that have some type of mental disorder. Yeah. They want to have their genitalia cut off.
He brings that up.
Yeah.
He goes, this is a mental disorder. Why are we having to financially support these people the rest of their life?
You know, and all this is just another lie from Satan. You know, what he said, Adam and Eve, you could be like God. Okay, you'll live forever. Well, guess what? None of that happened. And so we need to realize very quickly that when Satan comes in to rob, kill, steal, and destroy, he'll do it this way too. He does it every way he can, including with your children and our families and everything else. He always comes in to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. God brings life and life more abundantly. We keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Satan doesn't do that. He's the exact opposite of that. He's like a weird pervert. Yeah, that's all he is. And so always understand that. God is a good God. He'll always, always take care of you, Austin.
Absolutely, my friends. You guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us. Team Health Masters, the N-Acetyl Cysteine, on sale for Product of the Week last day. I got over 22% off right now. This product's amazing for detoxifying the body, environmental toxins, pollutants. Also really helps lung function, keeps your immune system strong as well. I'll be hammering this as well right now, so we got a lot of stuff running around right now down here in Florida. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. Call us if you need anything. We always answer the phone, 1-800-726-1834. Be sure to follow us and like us on all the platforms we're on. And Team Health Masters, Thanks you for supporting us every single day. Have a great evening, my friend.
And remember, your prayer life controls your mindset, which controls your perception. So try to see beauty and positivity everywhere you go. Life is beautiful and short. So I believe it should be lived to its fullest, finding joy or meaning in every moment. Maybe this will help all of you to get through the day a little bit easier. I love you guys. We'll be right back.